ordinary people, aren't they? I mean, they grew up in ordinary homes with ordinary families and friends, married ordinary guys, but then they gave birth. And that in itself is extraordinary, isn't it? Moms are amazing. Our daughter Candace, as you met her just a few moments ago, she already knows the different types of cries that Lindsay has. She knows when to let Lindsay just fuss. It's her fussy time, you know. And moms, you know what this is all about. And then you know when to comfort and when to cuddle and to care for the child. And, you know, moms just love and care in an extraordinary way. I was thinking about some fairly obscure mothers of the Bible. Mothers that are mentioned infrequently or possibly even only once in the Scriptures. But then as I looked at their ordinariness, I discovered some extraordinary qualities. Qualities that all moms can aspire unto and that many mothers even here possess. And these qualities are what makes them extraordinary. So what can an ordinary mother do? I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the second book of the Bible. It's Exodus. Genesis, then Exodus, chapter 2. So kind of right out of the gate here, early in the Bible. Exodus chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2. If you have an iPad or a phone, smartphone, you can look up YouVersion, download that. And then look up events, and our church has an event there, and you can follow along with the notes there as well as take notes in the worship, out of the notes in the worship folder there. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, when you observe this ordinary mother who sets an example for all mothers in this, and here's what makes one of the things that makes an ordinary mother an extraordinary mother, and that is to trust God. When you add that element of trusting God, that makes an ordinary mom an extraordinary mom. When she trusted God, she became extraordinary. Her name is Jochebed. Her husband's name is Amram, and you have Amram and Jochebed. She was the mother of Moses, and she was a Levite woman. That means the Levites were what was called the priestly tribe. So the priests came out of the tribe of Levi. And so she grew up in a pastor's home. She was a PK. She evidently then knew the Scriptures, knowledgeable about the Bible, had heard it all her life, most probably. But we also find out that she was a woman of faith. It's one thing to know the Bible. It's another thing to put it into practice and to be faithful to do so. In fact, if you're taking notes, jot this passage down. Hebrews 11:23. You're welcome to look it up if you'd like. But Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith Moses' parents," that's Amram and Jochebed, "by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child." And don't forget this statement. "And they were not afraid of the king's edict." They were not afraid of the king's edict. They were willing to obey God rather than men. Why? Because they had faith. She trusted God. They were willing to take a risk. You look at verses 1 through 4. She hid her child for 3 months as opposed to allowing him to be killed. The king's edict was Israel is becoming too big of a nation. There are too many kids being born in Israel, making it a big nation. We need to kill the male babies. So as soon as the babies are born, midwives, you're supposed to kill the baby boy. Rather than do that, she protected her child. They put him in a basket, hid him for 3 months, then put him in a basket, floated him in the river, no doubt hoping that he would either remain hidden or be discovered by someone, maybe Pharaoh's daughter, and spared. So here you have Jochebed was willing to do what she could do. All right? She was willing to do what she could do. She protected her son for 3 months. Isn't that what moms wanted? Mom, you know, most moms, very rarely does a mom not want to protect their child. Most moms, they want to protect their child. They want the best. You know, when you go into the hospital, right from, did you wash your hands? Please wash your hands before you hold the baby. You know, sometimes they have little masks. Please, you know, wear the mask. You know, they want to protect their, right out of the womb, they want to protect their baby. That's what mothers do. And they care for that child. And they nurture that child, protecting that child. She did what she could do. Then it got to the point where she couldn't hide him any longer. So she prepared a basket, placed the child in this basket, and floated it out into the reeds. And evidently, curious big sister, Miriam, she was watching. She was waiting, what's going to happen to my little brother? See, mom did what she could do, but she had to trust God to do what she could not do. She could not have planned that her son would be found by anybody, let alone Pharaoh's daughter. She could not have planned that. She may have hoped for that and prayed for that, but she couldn't have planned that. She couldn't have planned that he would be found by Pharaoh's daughter and couldn't have, I mean, by all reason, he should have been put to death at that point. I mean, Pharaoh's daughter, I'm sure she knew what the edict was. She should have put him to death or reported it to the authority, to her dad. Hey, there's a Hebrew baby I found, baby boy, you know, and, you know, no. Who would have expected that he would be protected by Pharaoh's daughter? And not only that, she cared for the child. Excuse me, Miriam, the sister, asked if she could get someone to nurse the baby. And she went and got the baby's mom, her mom, to nurse the baby. And she got paid for it. Could you imagine that, moms? You know, you get paid for raising your own kid. You know, again, it was beyond plan. She trusted God to do what she could not do. If an ordinary mom just simply trusts God, it turns the ordinary into extraordinary. Many of you know, years ago, I had a little brother killed in a car accident. I was a driver. I was 17. My little brother was 15. We had a head-on collision with a police car. And, you know, that is an event. I mean, I was devastated as a brother. But that is an event that can just tear parents apart. Just tear them up. And right from the start, after my brother was gone, my mom shared this verse with me and with the rest of the family. And that was Deuteronomy 33:27. And she claimed this verse on the behalf of the family. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I mean, that which could have devastated my mom made her stronger. And I saw that faith in her that just bolstered my faith. And encouraged me and motivated me. Did we have tears? Did mom have tears? Certainly. But I knew that my mom trusted God. And that faith was passed on to me as well. and encouraged my heart, as well as others in the family. She continually pointed us to Jesus and to His comfort. When our son Chad was in the Marines, Teresa kept him in her prayers. More than once, I would see Teresa praying for our son and in tears, just crying out to God to protect our son, not only from that which he was facing and experiencing, but to protect his heart. Moms all over this worship center trust God with their children. They've done what they can do. As we had these families, these parents up here, you know, to commit themselves to bring the child up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know, that's a powerful commitment. We are going to do all that we know that we can do to bring our children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And we commend you for doing that. And many of you parents have done that as well. But you know what? There's only so much we can do. There comes a point, and there are times when our children are on the playground and we don't know, as we heard just this last week, whether someone's going to come up and stab them in the back. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you know, who would think I'm going to send my child to school and I have no idea what's going to happen with that child today? And here is a child on the playground gets stabbed in the back. You don't know those kinds of things, do you? You send your child out, you don't know. That's where you need to, what? Trust God. Trust God to do what you can't do. And I'm telling you that there are mothers here who trust God, have trusted God with their children. And that makes them extraordinary. Women of faith. And faith makes you extraordinary. Turns the ordinary to extraordinary. Here's an ordinary mom, something else an ordinary mom can do, and that's in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at Lydia. Now, Lydia was known for the color purple long before this other guy that we just heard about sang about purple. But anyway, that's Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. And that which turned this ordinary woman into an extraordinary woman was that she was willing to learn. She was a learner. She was willing to listen to the greatest message ever proclaimed, the message of salvation. The message of God and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, if you look at the text, it says that she was a worshiper of God. You know, there are a lot of people out there that say, yeah, I believe in God. You know, there's no doubt there's a God. I believe in God. And yet she was willing to learn, to listen and learn to the message that Paul had. What was that message? Well, first of all, it was the message of grace. It was the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're all sinners, right? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one who's righteous, no one who does good, no one who understands. And that's why we need the grace of God. That's why we needed a Savior to come and to die on the cross in your place and mine. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. So that if you would believe that, you could have salvation. You could have eternal life. It's a gift. It's not something that you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's something that is a gift. It's offered to you. And that gift becomes yours if you would receive that. Lydia was willing to listen to that and evidently turned her heart over to God because she believed, and then she was baptized and her household was baptized as a result of her belief. And it's interesting. It says, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, how could they deny it? She trusted Christ. and was baptized. And then she extended hospitality. That which was ordinary, an ordinary woman, an ordinary worshiper of God, became extraordinary when she placed her faith and trust in our eternal God for her eternal salvation. She was a learner. You know, it takes time to read, take time to study the Bible. She was willing to do that. Many, many mothers here have done the same, and I encourage you to do the same. She allowed God to open her heart to respond to the work of God. We see that in verse 14. Lydia responded to God's work in her heart. Honor the mom who has responded to God's salvation. And what a blessing to have a mother that's saved, that loves God. So open your heart and respond to the work of God in your heart even here today. And if you're willing to be a learner, that's what turns the ordinary mom into an extraordinary mom. Let me ask you this. How many of you have led one or more of your children to the Lord? Okay, we have a few. How many of you children were led to the Lord by your moms? Okay, we have a few more. Okay, see, it's that which we are to perpetuate, that which we are to pass on to the next generation. How important it is to be a learner, to respond to salvation, and to pass that on. Well, that leads us to the next point, and that is teaching turns the ordinary into extraordinary. To be a teacher, to teach, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And here we have Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he hears of Timothy's family. He says, I've been reminded, 2 Timothy 1:5, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Turn to chapter 3 and verse 15. He's saying there in chapter 1, I know of your faith because it came from your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. And how from infancy, chapter 3, verse 15, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Willing to pass that on to the next generation, to pass your faith on to the next generation. How important that is. And when you look at this, it involves discipline. Ephesians 6:4 says, parents, you are to bring them up. Bring your children up in the training, that structured discipline. How does that put it? That's the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. Is that what it is? You know, there are those times when structured discipline has to take place. The world ridicules structured discipline. The world ridicules spanking. And it's sad to see that. Done appropriately, at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, it's necessary and appropriate. My kids don't like the word appropriate. We used it a lot. This is appropriate. But done in a proper way, it's appropriate. But not only structured discipline, but also the teaching, which involves discipleship. Again, 2 Timothy 3:15, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. From infancy! It's not that you waited till the child was at the quote-unquote age of accountability when you said, I got to sit down and have a talk with you. A talk? Oh, no. What's that all about? You know? No. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. No. From infancy, you spend time with that child. You teach that child so that when they are confronted with their sin, they understand, you know what? I need to repent from my sin and I need to turn to God in salvation through Jesus Christ. The way has been paved. So first of all, you teach the way of salvation. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We saw many of you have trusted Christ because of your mother telling you the way of salvation. That's what I did. My mom told me the way of salvation. But you know what? It wasn't all of a sudden. My parents took me to church. They prayed with me. They taught me from a child. you teach how to pray. How do you teach how to pray? Well, first of all, you got to. It's not just I'm going to teach you a prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, or I pray my soul to keep. It's not just teaching a prayer. It's teaching them how to pray. They need to see you praying. You pray not only for your child, but with your child. You know, right from infancy, you pray, teaching them to thank the Lord for their food. You teach them to pray before they go to bed. You teach them to pray as they're going out to play. They see you pray. You're setting that example. You teach godly character. How do you teach godly character? You live it out. If you want to teach your child obedience, then they need to see you in obedience to those who are in authority over you. To teach them patience, they need to see that you are patient with them. Or if you become impatient, that you deal with that, ask forgiveness and restore the relationship and so on. You teach honesty, you teach generosity, godly character. But you also, this discipleship also involves listening. You listen to them. Your children, if they're in the service, they see you how you listen to the message or the teaching of the scriptures. They see you listen and you teach them how to do so. And you, of course, you teach them God's word. You don't use the Bible just as a club, you know. Hey, children, the Bible says children obey your parents. You know, now straighten up. That's the only time they hear the Bible, really? You know, oh, well, we take them to Sunday school, but do they hear it from you? You see. And of course, for you to pass it on, you need to be in the scriptures as well. Teach them the word of God. And these qualities here, the matter of teaching turns the ordinary mom into extraordinary. Shortly after I came to FBC here, there was a wedding. And I as pastors do, they kind of get nosy and they look things over before. And I walked in and I saw the wedding cake. And I was like, whoa. That is the most beautiful cake I've ever seen. Now, listen, folks, we're just talking about cake for Pete's sake, right? I mean, we all know what cake is. We've all seen wedding cakes. But I'm like, whoa, that which is ordinary was extraordinary. Well, what made it extraordinary? Well, you think about it and you have a few little tweaks. You have some techniques that were used, attention to detail, along with experience and voila, you have that which is just an ordinary cake became extraordinary. It was awesome. And it tasted extraordinary too. Isn't it interesting? Someone could take the same old thing, that which is considered ordinary, and turn it into extraordinary by giving attention to certain details. Ordinary moms who trust, learn, and teach are extraordinary. Let's honor them. Heavenly Father, we come to you now here today. We have moms all around us here today, and we thank you for them, and we ask for your blessing upon them and encourage their hearts. But I pray, Father, and I know we have many extraordinary moms, and I pray that every mom here, even if she would consider herself ordinary, that she would put these truths into practice and become extraordinary.